Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Chuck Indereeden here on Shooter's Corner. We're here with Boise Bell, and we got Matt with us here in the studio. It is July 24th. 2025 in the year of our Lord. It is currently, I don't know, chilly outside.
It's pretty warm out. I was just out there. It's a nice morning, and it's good morning. It's not afternoon yet.
Oh, well, whatever. Depends on the time zone.
True.
But the weather is cloudy, and that's good. Maybe we'll get some rain. Just had the lawn hydro seeded, so that's probably a good thing. I need a little bit of moisture on there, so I'm not wasting my well water. Don't want that to run out. But we're here at KFAR 97.5, 660 AM. City's looking at me like, what did you just say? Anyways, if you have any questions or conversation, please feel free. Dial 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. You can also always listen to us at KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And if you missed a show, you can always go there, scroll down to the right-hand side, find Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden, click on that, scroll down past the bio, and all the archives are on there. Teresa, being such a great studious employee that she is of KFAR, normally tries to get those posted within a day or two, and then when she's gone, it takes weeks.
Chuck, you just be a little lost.
But nonetheless, let's start the show. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right. So, hey, remember, like, if and when our legislature gets back together down in Juneau, which is interesting in and of itself.
Are they on vacation?
I don't know. I think the governor is, like, trying to recall them or something like that to do some stuff. But anywho, Alaska Senate Bill 136, make sure we have our Senate. We want to pass that merchant category code bill. Make sure that our credit card companies can't continue to track us. Let's see. Big news right now was with the United States Air Force. Recently back on, what was it, July 19th or the 20th, if I remember correctly, Matt, a service member with a security detachment at probably one of the missile bases, I believe it was in Wyoming.
Yes.
Had their SIG 320 in a Safariland holster discharged. One of what SIG calls their uncommanded discharges in their holster, round striking him in the chest and killing him.
Yep. Yeah.
So another tragic freaking episode of the SIG 320.
Yep. And the speculation right now is it's kind of everywhere. People still want to blame the operator of the weapon, but when you have something as simple as the weapon was in the holster, carried in the condition that SIG had said the military is trained on, and he's simply taking it off to go into a secure facility, places it down, and the weapon discharges and, you know, takes his life. It's a very sad day. I think it can't be ignored anymore. You know, someone lost their life. Every shot that's come off with the someone called it the SIG-induced gunshots, SIG for the acronym. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hit people. It's been scary. Sometimes it's just gone off in someone's holster, but someone's lost a life now. I think it's time for SIG to finally fess up, maybe initiate a recall of their weapons to see what the underlying.
And this isn't a civilian version either. This is the M17 that actually has a safety on it.
Yes.
Or was it the M18?
It was the M18. The problem is,
but they still have the safety on it, which still doesn't.
It shouldn't fire.
Thank you. Yeah. But it still doesn't affect the fact that striker's under constant tension.
Yep.
It's not like the Glock system and some of the other systems that are out there where it's under a partial tension. Mm-hmm. Like,
and that safety, when you take apart the fire control group on it, the safety has nothing to do with that striker system either, which you can consider a failure point. It's only for the trigger to be pulled. There's nothing stopping
purely a dumb design.
Yeah, absolutely. Really stupid.
And just so the listeners know, that is strictly just relegated to the 320 system. The 365 and the other systems that are out there are fine.
Correct.
But you know who else has also jumped on the bandwagon? Well, the Air Force issued a memo basically saying, if you're on security, carry your patrol rifle. Nobody's carrying a 320 right now.
Yep.
Pending the investigation from Office of Special Investigations.
What about the Army?
They haven't gone that far yet.
Army
hasn't jumped on this thing yet.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, me too. But I think does it take a loss of life in the Army for them to finally jump on board with that too?
I think it will.
It will.
But
because, you know, combat deaths are bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
But a training one, or even in a training environment, or a peacetime environment, like, come on, man.
I mean, for an officer to have a weapon he's supposed to, one, protect himself with, but others with, and you can't trust that at all. Like, I would lose I mean, across the board, you're hearing multiple law enforcement officers within the lower 48 voice their concerns about department-issued P320s and that the fact that, you know, they're told to carry with one in the chamber safety on all this, and all of them are avoiding that. They've essentially gone to the Israeli carry because they don't trust their pistol, but right. Their departments won't let them make a switch.
That's such a waste of money, a waste of our tax dollar.
Yeah, because they had that big, $500 million contract with SIG anyways.
Yeah, so.
But nonetheless, other organizations have now jumped on this. Gunsight issued a memorandum basically saying that 320s are not allowed. If you're a military member or a law enforcement member, you can bring it, but they will strongly discourage you using it, period.
Yes.
Scott Jenlitsky with Modern Samurai Project has also basically said, no 320s on my range. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, like Lockton Affinity, who does the firearms insurance for the NRA, eventually comes out and says, no 320s on it because of the liability.
Yeah.
So.
They're another organization that's hopped onto it, actually, 1st Marine Division. Their commanding general for 1st Marine Division has issued an investigation to be done on their M18 as well. And they are currently trying to procure M9A1s to replace the P320.
Going right back to the Beretta?
Yep. Just because I think it's already ease of use. They already have Beretta sitting somewhere, whatever hasn't been sold as surplus. The problem is they can't initiate that until they find cause. And right. While the whole DOD is saying, look at this, this is bad, unfortunately, it does go by a branch-to-branch basis. Now,
and appropriations and everything.
Absolutely. Yes. And there's whispers that the Commandant of the Marine Corps said that if 1st Marine Division is able to find the problem, that the entire Marine Corps will also transition away from the M18. So I imagine if the Air Force is doing it now, pending their investigation, and the Marines start to gain some traction on it, I feel like the rest of the DOD will just drop it entirely.
But just to be clear, right now, it's just the Missile Defense Command, though.
Correct.
So far. It's not like Department of the Air Force wide.
No, and there's been no official publication saying everyone remove it, but I imagine anyone with common sense, any commander said, hey, let's shelve those. Let's not use them.
Well, I think a lot more needs to be discussed about that for sure. But I think it was kind of like odd that there are some SIG simps that are out there.
Absolutely.
That have really jumped on board with this thing and beat up like Scott Jedlinski and some of these other, you know, trainers in the lower 48 for essentially kind of banning them and saying, oh my God, it's not the pistol. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, even one study came out and said it. I think it was like this process or the manufacturing process called MEMS, where you basically cast your parts instead of forge them kind of thing.
Oh, they cheaped out.
Yeah, they cheaped out on it.
I mean, I think Glock was the unofficial report is that...
Glock won.
Well, Glock won, but SIG underbid them and...
On the parts part.
Yes, so. And for the pricing per pistol, it was, I want to say $300 per Glock 40, or excuse me, 19X. And then SIG, they said around 200. Well, Air Force, a lot of the armors, as well as in the Army, looking at the M17, I was able to look at how much we're purchasing these SIGs for, $152.
Wow.
Glock wouldn't go any lower than 270, but SIG really, really underbid them, and I think we were able to figure out why, and now...
Oh, yeah, we know why now.
Oh, yeah. Now everyone's going to feel the repercussions.
Yeah, because your parts were made in India.
Yep.
Not anything about India, but for the love of God, like
they can join EOTech in getting sued by the DOD for false parts and breaking products.
There you have it.
Yeah, not all American made.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. Should have made it in a Chevy factory or Ford. Hey, but before we go on the break, though, I do have to like throw some love out there. Though I heard Hulk Hogan died today.
He did pass.
Man, what? That is tragic.
He was young, too.
71.
It's only young to us because we're in our early 60s.
Shh.
Or I just turned 60, so I'm proud of it.
Stop talking, Cindy.
I know. You just can't accept age.
Maturing, like a good wine. Not to be confused with whining.
You are whining.
Hey, so thank you for listening to us. We're having to go into our first break so we can listen to our Valdez fishing report. But when we come back, we had a caller last week that called in and said, hey, kind of like, what's the difference between lead and copper bullets or projectiles? So we're going to address that when we come back. So stay tuned here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5, 660 AM. When we come back, we're going to talk about the difference between copper projectiles and lead projectiles. We'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner.
Today's Valdez Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with James Cook of Bremerton, Washington. You are the new halibut derby leader.
210-pound halibut? Tell me about it.
Don't remember much about bringing it up or how long it took. Everybody keeps asking me that, but I kind of got in the zone and just worked it and listened to my captain, kept both my ears open and my mouth shut, and just slowly brought it in. It took about four people to bring the pig in the boat, and had a great time. Captain on the Dan Orion. It was an amazing trip. Didn't get much sleep the night before we even came up here. Had some canceled flights, so this just kind of made it all worth it.
Do you have a lot of experience fishing halibut?
So it's my third trip up here. I'm with a team of, we're all veterans. We've served together. We've all been friends for 30-some years now. We all use the same team, same boat, same captain.
Any of them in the 200 Club? You're wearing your Valdez Fish Derby's 200 Club hat.
I don't think any of them are in the 200 Club, so I'm catching some stuff over that, but they're having a good time. And, you know, I guess the best thing I could say is have fun, listen to the captain, and what we like to do is take care of the boat and take care of the captains. You know, as we were coming in, I was scrubbing toilets, and we were cleaning the boat, and we made sure that our captain had a good trip in, and everything went well.
Go fishing, Valdez! Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
When you go so far up that river that you need an airboat, that is very far. You gotta make sure that airboat is working perfectly before you leave. 100%, if you know what I mean. Call Rogers Auto Repair. They know airboat maintenance because they've been using and maintaining both airboats and inboards for decades. Put your airboat into top shape before you disappear up your favorite skinny little creek in Alaska's wilderness. Rogers Auto Repair. Give them a call. 907-479-6665.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 66, southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight, chance for scattered rain showers, lows around 52. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and we have Matt here in the studio with Shooter's Corner, KFAR, here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. July 24th in the year of our Lord, and if you have any questions, feel free. Call 458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we have a caller on the phone. Go ahead, caller. What's your name?
Montana Kid Hammers.
What's up, Colonel?
Well, I was in Sportsman's Warehouse the other day, and I'm kind of following on what you've been talking about. All of their ammunition now is behind the counter. It's no longer on the floor. I'm wondering what that's about.
Yeah, because it walks away.
It grows legs?
It grows legs. Yeah, they literally steal it, and then they will go to another store and try to sell it.
Aha, uh-huh. That makes sense.
Oh, yep. They have done that.
They have done that. And so that's literally a loss prevention strategy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I suspected. But like you said, I guess if we're going to do lead or copper prices of ammo, we're going to do things, and yeah, they'll grow a lot of legs.
Oh, yeah.
And all. But anyway, I just thank you for answering my question, and I'll continue to listen to the show.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
that. Thank you for calling.
Yep. All righty. So when we left on the break, we were talking about the SIG 320 thing. So listeners, if you're just now tuning in, you can go back and listen to the archive, but it was an interesting conversation about how the Air Force, one of the Air Force commands up in Wyoming area, Missile Defense Command, basically has removed the 320 from the line, from the troops, because of their uncommanded discharges, and allowing them to go back and having their rifles on patrol now. And also how a lot of schools have now picked that up as well to include gun sight. Anybody can Google that. What is it? Ken, I think it is, or one of the guys, the directors of operation down there, has basically said, like, hey, these aren't allowed anymore. So, cool. Let's get on with the copper projectiles and lead bullets. Did a little study on this thing. And our answer or question was, what's the difference between copper projectiles, bullets, and lead projectiles? So we will attempt to answer some of these questions this week and provide some of the pros and cons. And then, you know what? Also, I was kind of looking at it. I was like, are we just limited to copper? No, there's actually some other alloys that are out there that also do a pretty good job other than just lead. So we'll talk about some of the alternative materials as well. So the debate over copper projectiles versus lead bullets has gained significant attention in recent years due to the environmental, health, and performance considerations. Copper projectiles, often monolithic, are made from copper alloys, are increasingly promoted as alternatives to traditional lead core bullets. This report examines the advantages of copper projectiles over lead bullets, focusing on cost, ballistic performance, and the reasons behind state-level pushes for copper ammunition. And the one leading state is... what do you think, Cindy? What state do you think would be leading the ban on lead ammunition?
Probably California.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, imagine that. So our analysis is actually going to draw on several credible sources. And if you look on here, it's actually, this is kind of like an MLA works cited document, if you will. Okay. So we do have references. All right. So copper projectiles are non-toxic, addressing concerns about lead contamination in the environment. Lead bullets, particularly those that fragment upon impact, leave residues in game carcasses and gut piles, which can be ingested by scavengers like bald eagles and California condors. Because they ingest those lead particles.
Leading to lead poisoning.
Yeah, leading to that lead poisoning. I remember growing up in Idaho. Did you ever hunt wild birds or anything like that, Matt?
No, mountain lions.
Yeah, we normally don't eat that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
They're invasive.
Some do.
Yeah, I guess some people can. But nonetheless, I remember duck hunting, and then this will probably date myself, but we didn't have steel shot then.
We already know you're 61. So.
Shh. It's okay. But nonetheless, mute her microphone for me, please. Nonetheless, I always worried about biting in on, you know, something like a chunk of breast meat or something like that, and then having that pellet stuck in your teeth or in your molars or something.
When we went pheasant,
I was always wondered about that, you know, because like the Holy Roman Empire kind of like faded away because of lead pipes. Like, How much lead, like pellets, have I consumed over my life? I mean, probably not as much as the lead that I've probably consumed just breathing.
I don't think you could. I don't think you can. Because when we go pheasant hunting with Dad, we always looked and took
a lot of that stuff out, right?
A lot of the stuff out. So yeah. I don't.
But I have friends who duck hunt now, and now it's steel.
Oh, I
forgot. That's even less forgiving now if you cramp down on a molar with that sucker.
I forgot you have wooden teeth because you're so
old.
You've matured.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's not get started.
I might have to leave.
Yeah, you're in the middle.
You're in the middle of us.
Studies have shown that lead fragments from bullets can scatter widely, posing a risk to wildlife and potential humans consuming game meat. For instance, an X-ray image of a mule deer showed over 450 lead fragments from a single bullet. What did they shoot that thing with? Sounds like a beehive round. Like, I've never seen a lead bullet fragment that much, but it must have been microscopic.
CQB minigun? There's no way. 450 yeah. lead fragments.
Right. Well, they pulled that one store out of, anyways. With just a few fragments sufficient to harm a bald eagle. Yeah, I get that. Copper bullets, being monolithic, retain nearly 100% of their mass, reducing the risk of environmental contamination and making them a safer choice for ecosystems and human consumption.
Huh, so maybe there can be a problem.
The meat is safe for human consumption, not the bullet.
Yes,
just so correct. You guys know. I just want to make sure we're clear. Like, yes. Oh my gosh, meat! I could eat that too, and I got my copper for my daily dose of copper for the day.
Mercury poisoning. You got a little mercury in there.
Yeah. All right. Copper projectiles offer distinct ballistic advantages, particularly in terms of penetration and weight retention. I agree with that, 100%.
Yep.
Like their ability to retain their weight and maintain that kinetic energy as well. Possible. Unlike lead bullets, which can lose 20 to 50% of their mass due to fragmentation, copper bullets maintain structural integrity, often retaining 90 to 100% of their weight upon impact. This leads to deeper penetration, which is critical for hunting larger game such as elk, bear, or African game. For example, a 180-grain copper bullet fired through a grizzly retained its full weight, while a lead core bullet of the same weight might lose significant mass. Copper bullets are designed with features such as hollow points, polymer tips, or nose skiving to ensure reliable expansion, creating large wound channels comparable to those of lead bullets. Tests in ballistic gelatin have shown that copper bullets, such as Federal Trophy Copper, expand immediately upon impact and maintain trajectory, often outperforming lead cup and core bullets in consistency. Additionally, copper bullets can be lighter than lead bullets of the same caliber, allowing for higher muzzle velocities and reduced recoil, which improves accuracy and shooter comfort. However, copper bullets require higher impact velocities, typically around 2,000 to 2,400 feet per second for optimal expansion, which may necessitate specific load adjustments. So, modern copper bullets, such as those from Barnes, the TTSX and LRX, or Remington Premier, have addressed early concerns about accuracy and barrel fouling. Innovations like driving bands and specialized alloys reduce bore friction and fouling, making copper bullets as accurate as premium lead bullets at moderate ranges. However, at longer ranges beyond 300 yards, lead bullets may have an edge due to their higher ballistic coefficient resulting from lead's greater density. Despite this, advancements in copper bullet design have minimized this gap, making them viable for most hunting scenarios. I know we're going to get into the cost analysis of this thing. I remember like going to a dump and freaking getting all the lead weights and melting them down and casting like my own stuff.
Dad did that with the fishing lures.
Yeah, the fishing weights.
Yeah.
Or actually, weights. Yeah, you can do it with lures too. You're absolutely right. You can put the hook in there and then make the little lead head for a jig or something. Yeah. Yes. No, you're absolutely right. And so that's probably where my other lead comes from is inhaling that stuff, not realizing it.
Probably.
Thank you. Copper projectiles are generally more expensive than lead bullets due to the higher material costs. Oh, and we just saw the tariffs on copper.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's going to kick it up a notch.
Not good.
What was it?
Well, 10% or something like that?
So,
anyways, they're talking about the price of copper is just going to exponentially rise, which copper is used in everything. Motors, like
everything,
wiring your house, everything.
Thieves love copper. Does that mean they're going to get more money?
Yeah.
Lock your stuff down.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Lock everything down. For example, a box of 50 Barnes TTSX copper bullets costs approximately $30. Now, this is just the bullets for loading.
Yep.
This isn't like the actual complete cartridge, right? Which consists of the bullet, the casing, the primer, and the powder. All right. But significantly more than standard lead core bullets, the cost difference is less impactful for hunters. Hey, I guess what? I hear the music in the background. That tells me that we have to get ready to go on a break. When we come back from this break, because this is our national and local news, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the copper lead projectile conundrum, if you will. So stay tuned. You'll be right back with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner, KFAR in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All the news you'll need in one place. This is KFAR Radio, 660 AM.
News, I'm Tom Graham. Wrestling icon Hulk Hogan has died after suffering cardiac arrest at his home in Clearwater, Florida.
The WWE reacting, saying, quote, WWE is saddened to learn WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan has passed away, one of pop culture's most recognizable figures.
He was the main draw for the first WrestleMania in 1985. Hogan was 71 years old. U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff meeting with senior officials from Israel today. It's the Trump administration's latest attempt to try and reach a peace deal in Gaza. This is foreign aid ramps up to the war-torn strip.
With hunger spreading throughout Gaza, a limited agreement has been reached between Israeli and UN officials to distribute 150 trucks worth of aid inside the enclave. Still, though, there are hundreds of trucks worth of supplies waiting along the Gaza border.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv, America, is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports a significant upgrade to the Fairbanks City Hall heating system may end up costing more than anticipated, according to city engineer Bob Pristash. Pristash provided an update at a city council work session on Tuesday, noting that Design Alaska's estimate had increased from $3.25 million to $5.5 million after the Fairbanks-based engineering firm completed the 95% design. That includes a $4.7 million construction cost, plus a 20% contingency and design fees. City Hall utilizes central district heating from Aurora Energy. The project scope entails upgrades to the 66,500 square foot building's heat source, interior piping, unit heaters, and future capacity for the air handling system. We are sticking with steam heat from the street, and when it comes into the building, it will be a steam to hot water exchanger, Pristash said. Fairbanks City Mayor David Prue stated that, given the new cost, the city will need to reevaluate the project.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Auto Trim Design has a variety of CompuStar remote starts available that are compatible with Drone Mobile, giving you the option to start your vehicle from your smart device. Ask about their proximity unlock feature that lets you unlock your vehicle as you walk up to it. No more searching for your keys while you're juggling groceries or school supplies. Auto Trim Design has been installing remote starts for almost 30 years. They're reliable, trustworthy, and stand by their work. As Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt at
Boise
Shooter's
Bell.
Corner. And Boise Bell over there breaking my emergency backup pair of readers.
Poking her eye out.
Something with it. All right. Hey, when we left off of the break, we were talking about or getting into the cost analysis of a copper projectile versus the lead or traditional lead projectiles. and how they can significantly be more in cost. But before we get started on that, just remember you can always call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 458-8255. Archives are always posted at kfarradio.com as well. So jump on there, give them some hits and likes, and I don't know, like send traffic to their site. So, all right, we got another caller. Caller, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner. Go ahead.
Hey, Chuck, how's it going? Andrew here. Anyways, I have some experience numbering using like the Barnes Bullet. And the interesting thing about them in the big bore calibers like 375 H&H, 416 Rigby, okay, they actually have a better ballistic coefficient. And I have used them up to 400 yards to take most.
Okay, and which ones are these? The projectile?
I forget which Barnes one it was. The initial one, and then I think they're now the TPX or TPSX.
Do you happen to remember, Andrew, what the grain was, by chance?
In the 416 Rigby, I was using a 350, and the 375 H&H, a 270.
Okay. That's interesting. I was just prepping maybe for our next show and was going to talk about belted cartridges. And the 375 was probably, H&H was the one of the belted cartridges that was consistently like mentioned.
Yes, it's very popular and very widely used.
Yep. It's like the minimum standard cartridge for African game hunting. Is what
in most
call
places.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate that.
You bet.
You have a great day, sir. Enjoy this cold, cooler weather. I don't have to like sleep with a fan on me all the time now. So, okay. So let's see. The cost difference is less impactful for hunters. Knock it off, Cindy.
<It's typically laughs> He's whining.
Use fewer rounds, but can be prohibitive for high volume shooters. Yeah, because of that cost, it tends to be prohibitive. Okay. Additionally, copper bullets may accelerate barrel wear due to their hardness, particularly at the barrel's throat area, increasing long-term maintenance costs. And I guess we got another caller. Welcome to Caller Corner.
Caller Corner.
Caller Corner. Hey, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. Go ahead, sir, or ma'am, or
yep,
however you identify.
Rory.
Rory. Yep. Awesome, Rory. Yep. Thank you for calling.
Hey. Yeah, I've taken you and Cindy to Stop the Bleed, and I think another course, and I took the Moss Ayub course as well. So I have I bought a suppressor at one of the shops here a couple years ago, and like a year and a half later, the ATF basically said, we're refunding your money. We can't get conclusions from the FBI. And then I worked with Mary Peltola's office just when she was in office to kind of pierce into the FBI because the ATF says you can't call them and check. And ultimately, I got a statement from the FBI to the effect of, we cannot, thoroughly or effectively figure out, you know, your background regarding like an ATF Form 4 application.
Mm-hmm.
And basically suggest the burden was on me to go to these, maybe the courts and this and that. So I have a misdemeanor from 40 years ago, was not weapons related. And I just wonder if you had any insights. Like I'm trying to imagine there's no way the FBI is going to trust any phone calls or research I do. I feel like I'm checkmated out. And I regularly pass background checks for everything else, but I respect the fact it might be tougher for a Form 4.
What was your misdemeanor conviction back years ago? And I know that you're on radio and nobody really knows who you are, but like...
Yeah. No, was it
DV related?
They're just urinating on the side of the road at night in Florida.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know.
So I do know about this a little bit. I had to help a buddy with that. So one, I would resubmit everything if you wanted to, at least through the silencer shop kiosk, which they have one at Alaska Ammo. But the other thing that you want to do is write your congressman to say, this is this person, have them write from themselves to the ATF and say, this is this person, this is, you know, all of your data. It's on the ATF and the FBI to conduct the investigation, not the sole person. Usually when you start to get your congressman involved with Form 4, they immediately, the ATF just starts saying, oh, you know what, you're right, absolutely. And the FBI kind of pushes things forward as well. But it's,
I think Sullivan would be the route on that one, not the other Rhino.
Yeah, the ATF has been responsive, outstanding. They told me we approved you right away, just waiting on the FBI. And I did read.
Because the FBI maintains a NICS system. Yeah. The FBI maintains that NICS system that the ATF is utilizing.
Right. But the NICS, like for, I do Meals on Wheels. I do, I'm trying to think of weapons related. I buy handguns. Like my background check goes right through every time.
So all the other 4473s, no issue.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll try again with a new congressperson. It's really the FBI, which is sort of punting. It's saying that maybe back 40-some years ago, the records aren't electronic, and I respect what they're saying, but how am I going to fix that for them?
So when you initially filed for your Form 4, did you have to, did you do that yourself? Did you submit all the paperwork? Because you said about how long now? 5 years? 4 years ago?
About 4 years ago, Alaska Ammo, and it went for like 500 days. I went to Alaska Ammo. There's sort of, we tried to resubmit, and finally they said, yeah, well, your refund for your $200 stamp, we'll just roll that forward. And I successfully resubmitted. And that's been sort of whatever fermenting for about 6 or 7 months. I thought, yeah, I just don't. And so I was worried the suppressor model would get whatever. I just went in and asked for a refund. So I kind of arrested the whole thing because I didn't want to get stuck using it. I never used the suppressor, which I learned you could use it in the store because I bought it. It's mine, but I can't take it out. So I'm back to ground zero. I forfeited the $200 ATF fee, but I'm willing to try it again if I can figure out.
So I absolutely would, and especially with Silencer Shop saying, hey, ATF, your guys' process is way too slow. It shouldn't take a year and a half for essentially 45 minutes worth of work. So, I've been with people who went, purchased a suppressor, filed the Form 4, and then within an hour were approved, and we left with a suppressor the same day. So the advancement that Silencer Shop has provided to all these gun stores around here, one, that's really beneficial, but two, having everything on an electronic file, there's no excuse for the ATF or FBI to say, hey, we don't know who you are. Maybe there's not enough evidence. At that point, it's either the FBI not wanting to do their job, or maybe there's something coming up and some guy sitting at a desk doesn't want to push anything more than yes or no. Also, the ATF is religiously bad at doing anything in a timely manner, which the system has fixed for the most part. So there also could be something where I have seen glitches in the system, or the ATF hit approve, but someone forgot to sign it and it got kicked back and no one checked their email. So I would definitely try on that aspect.
Have you gone onto the FBI's NICS website as well?
Oh, yeah. And I also did the Peltola's office recommended I file a, I request my own version. I can't remember what it's called, like a VCAF or something.
Okay.
I did all that. I had my fingerprint set in, pulled my own record, looked through it, studied the disqualifying things for Form 4,
right,
and nothing there. And so, all roads lead right back to the FBI. Silencer Shop, ATF have been great. It's just this weird FBI non-responsive. Basically, they're not doing anything. And it's just sort of like, huh. And when I applied to the FBI to get my own records, I got those just fine in a timely manner. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'd hazard to say just go back and try to reapply or something like that.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
Give it another shot and see if like a different thing or a different answer is granted. Given the present environment now and who is now in charge of the FBI.
I would also do it with a credit card. You can do a chargeback too if the same situation happens and they want to not pay you back your money, which legally they have to. I would definitely do it on the credit card and issue a chargeback, but shouldn't be an issue now.
Yep.
Everything's streamlined.
Yep, ATF refunded my money. So, yeah, all those folks are good. So, thanks for your encouragement. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right.
Have a great day, sir.
Yep.
All right, so cool. So, we understand that copper bullets can actually lead to, like, more wear of the bullet or the bore, right? So, anywho's, we'll see. Ballistic performance, I definitely want to cover this at least, at a minimum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ballistic performance of copper versus lead hinges on their material properties and design. Lead's higher density allows for shorter, heavier bullets with higher sectional density and ballistic coefficient. improving long-range stability and wind resistance. We kind of know that to be a fact.
Yep.
So that's pretty easy. However, lead bullets, especially non-bonded types, fragment significantly up to 35% of their weight loss, which can reduce penetration depth but increase energy transfer for faster kills. Premium bonded lead bullets, nozzler partition, federal terminal ascent, mitigate that fragmentation, losing only 10 to 25% of their mass, but still deposit more metal and tissue than copper bullets, which lose 0 to 15%. Copper bullets, being less dense, require longer profiles to match the weight of lead bullets. So I was kind of curious when the gentleman earlier called and said that he had, what, a 300-and-something grain 416 ring? I was like, holy crap, that's a big projectile.
It's a football.
Right? They're less dense, require longer profiles, and which can affect rifling twist rates and feeding in some firearms. However, their monolithic construction ensures consistent expansion and deep penetration, making them ideal for challenging game. Tests in ballistic soap reveal that copper bullets produce cavity volumes comparable to that of lead bullets, with less fragmentation and more reproducible results. At closer ranges, 140 to 300 yards, copper bullets often outperform lead bullets in terms of penetration and bone destruction, as demonstrated in tests using scalpella-embedded gelatin. That sounds like a fun science project there.
Sounds like an expensive science project.
I wonder if you could do this test in school. Would the teachers allow it? That'd be a fun test.
When you were going through school, old lady, yes.
Yes, I know, right? I'm maturing.
I remember taking a gun. Matt's like, I'm out of the middle of this. I remember taking a gun in for show and tell. I grew up in rural Idaho, so yeah. What do we got for time? We got to go into our break, don't we? That's sad. Great calls, though, but we're going to go into our last break, and then when we come back here at Shooter's Corner, we're going to continue on this conversation because we want to talk about this regulatory push for copper projectiles as well, and start to see these ammo manufacturers start to bend that more that direction. We'll be right back. Chuck, Cindy, Matt, Shooter's Corner here at KFAR Radio, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska Pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway Snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for scattered showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Highs level off around 66. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 52. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High of 71. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner here at KFAR Studios in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. Are you all right?
I broke your glasses. And I
Cindy
need
broke my readers. She's trying to put them on with only one arm on those. Oh, my gosh. You're hilarious. Now I know why I keep you around for 42 years, the entertainment purposes. All right. So nonetheless. When we were last talking, we've had some interesting conversations, but we were talking about the difference between copper and lead projectiles. Now, we're just going to briefly touch on some of the regulatory push for copper projectiles. Notably, California has kind of always been the lead on these things as well. They mandated the use of lead-free ammunition to protect the hunting, wildlife, and ecosystems because, obviously, if somebody was to shoot an animal, they didn't recover it, obviously, or they left a gut pile there. Then the scavenger animals come along, they eat these particles of lead, and the next thing you know, you have, like, your condor population declining because they have lead ingestion.
So California did something good.
Sure.
Okay. We got to give them credit for something.
Yeah, I'll give them credit for that. I mean, because it's kind of like second and third order effects, like, I guess. Like, I don't necessarily disagree with the fact that I wouldn't want, like, a bald eagle or something like that dying other than this.
No, I wouldn't either.
You know, it is our national bird, but it's also a rat with wings.
It is not.
All right.
Arizona.
Arizona has adopted voluntary, yep, compliance programs as well. Parts of Europe are considering similar restrictions. So all the push stems from wildlife conservation. Lead fragments in gut piles and unrecovered game pose a significant threat to scavengers. Copper bullets minimize this risk due to their near complete weight retention. And, oh, by the way, if a scavenger, I guess, was to eat a copper projectile that was in a gut pile, like, it would have zero impact, I guess. But they're recommended probably daily allowance of copper.
Bad time passing it, but yeah.
Sure. A bunch of them build up in an eagle, and then we'll have, like, the meth heads out trying to find the eagle so they can scavenge the
honestly,
copper.
Seeing an eagle, seeing an eagle poop out a bullet would be the most American thing possible.
Oh, I won't do that study.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not doing that study.
America.
Matt, you're on your own.
That's
America.
A National Geographic. I want to see the close-up.
Yeah. Human health, lead residues in game meat can pose health risk to hunters and their families, prompting advocacy for non-toxic alternatives. And then public perception, obviously. Is the hunters adopting copper bullets voluntarily demonstrate environmental stewardship, countering anti-hunting narratives? All right, so despite these drivers, resistance persists due to tradition, cost, concerns. Is that a hand and arm signal? Oh. Teresa over there waving her arm around.
She is. I'm like, boy, she really wants our attention.
Like, that's a new one. It wasn't the 1 or 2 minute warning. It wasn't phone call one. Like, what is this?
Bravo team breacher up.
Yeah.
I think we need live video in the room, the radio show room here.
So, nonetheless, alternatives. Let's just at least cover alternatives. All right. So there are some alternatives that manufacturers are coming out with, and some of them are actually really good. The really good ones, though, are what? Incredibly expensive. So
yes.
Copper.
Kind of that drawback. We've already covered copper, love.
I know. Right?
So they have steel. You can imagine how freaking abrasive steel would be.
Not only that, I imagine the manufacturing process of that is just ridiculous and probably drives cost up even more.
Right. Well, what they've done is they've taken the steel and used it as a core. Mm-hmm. So they made it essentially like an FMJ and then copper coat it. So it's less wear on the barrel itself. But they're highly durable, able to withstand high velocities without deforming, non-toxic, reduce environmental and health risk compared to lead, widely available in various calibers. Steel also provides consistent performance in training scenarios, is less prone to fragmentation, can minimize lead-like contamination. I guess the only other problem with that would be, oh my gosh, it's an FMJ. That's a war bullet shot out of a war gun.
Can't even say that now. We have the tungsten infused one, so now it's just surplus
infused?
Ammo.
Yeah. Is that like a Starbucks thing?
It's close. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the pink drink.
All right. We got another caller. We're going to set a record here. City just held up the 4. All right. Hey, go ahead, caller. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt at Shooter's Corner.
Hello, this is Randy. And I just wondered if I could just deviate for a moment from the copper bullet discussion back to the 320, the SIG 320.
Okay.
I was just wondering, is there at least some theories out there of what is causing or what could cause this problem? I mean, it seems like if you had, you know, compared another kind of gun and had an exploded view of the mechanism, someone could point at it and say, now, if this little part here snapped or had a crack in it, that could cause it. Are there theories out there as to what is causing it?
Yes.
You and I watched
it. There's entire studies as well. Actually, there's a couple guys that have made some really good videos on YouTube about it as well. But what it is there's a little tab that comes off the striker that matches up with the sear. That striker is under constant spring tension as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's like literally millimeters of engagement with that sear.
Teeny tiny.
And the problem with that is that metal that they've used as well is like it's not forged. It's like a poured. It's almost, think of it as like pot steel or pot aluminum.
Yeah.
Cast
aluminum. Yeah. You know how breakable cast aluminum could be. And then over a period of time. And so that's what they're kind of blaming it on. The fact that it's under constant tension, the spring tension. So if, when that point fails, that striker can just go straight forward, obviously. And what was it, that Michigan State Police study that the FBI Ballistics Lab did?
Mm-hmm.
It was like 2 out of 10 times or something like that, they were able to replicate the same thing that happened in the holster.
What?
So if you just Google Michigan State Police FBI Ballistics Lab report, you'll probably find it online right about now.
It's a really good one.
It's a good read.
One last question. I have a P360, a SIG P360. I know that's a different machine, or
right.
365 or whatever it is. Does it have also a tiny tab of metal and same as the 320?
Yes, but it's more forged and not this cast, and they're not having the same issues. They literally rewrote the 320 firing control group versus their other systems.
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
You agree with that, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's
they totally changed it for the 320.
It's similar to make sure that you can still have the plug and play compatibility of the 320, but in the 365, but they made it not go off
cheaper
by itself. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's no issues. Like I said before, as a kind of a disclaimer, there was no other issues with any of their other gun systems.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the information.
You're absolutely welcome, Randy. Bye. Thank you for calling. All right. So we have Bismuth. Is that my pronouncing that right?
Bismuth.
B-I-S-M-U-T-H. Often alloyed with tin. Used primarily in shotgun shells for waterfowl hunting because that was an alternative to lead when the feds came out and said no lead in waterfowl anymore. So a lot of people went to this. So some of the advantages, obviously, it's closer to lead than copper and steel, which allow for that better energy retention, velocity maintenance, and reduced wind drift. It's non-toxic, softer, making it safer for older firearms. As well, disadvantages is softer than steel, which can limit penetration in dense targets. Not always more effective. Cost is more expensive than steel or lead due to the rarity and production cost. So this is more for like shot shells. However, they do have some projectiles that are now starting to come out that way. Matt kind of alluded to this earlier when he said tungsten bullets, all right, used in high performance ammunition such as armor piercing rounds. There's another a war bullet. Or premium hunting loads such as tungsten super shot, which is for turkeys and stuff like that, right? But nonetheless, the advantage is extremely high density, providing superior penetration, energy delivery, and range compared to lead and copper, non-toxic, obviously, and environmentally better than lead, durable and effective against armor and tough hides. So that, yes, it would probably penetrate your water buffalo / other large creature. It's brittle and prone to shattering upon impact, unlike ductile lead or copper, difficult to manufacture, limited availability, and heavier recoil in some loads. Tin bullets are your frangibles. Tin is typically used in frangible breakable ammo, often centered with other metals for training or self-defense rounds that disintegrate on hard surfaces. One of the things about like Thunder Ranch, I remember back in the day, Centerfire, which is a company out of Pennsylvania, produces pretty much all frangibles that are used at Thunder Ranch. Like, so that's where you had them ship all of our ammo to when Cindy and I would do classes down there. So the advantages of these frangible tin bullets are non-toxic, obviously. They reduce ricochet over penetration, safe for indoor ranges, steel targets, good for minimizing collateral damage and self-defense. So there are those. Anywho, in summary, steel stands out as the most cost-effective. Lead's still the best. Tin is kind of a niche market. But, yeah, copper seems to be a way to go. Not actually too bad. Matt's going to do some more data study on that thing. Maybe we can come back and we can talk about some of the specific loads as well. So thank you for listening to us here at Shooter's Corner today, tuning in with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. Next week, we'll have an entirely different conversation, I'm sure, and hopefully nobody else gets hurt with a 320.
Yes.
But have a great weekend. Get outside. The fair starts this weekend. Enjoy the sun. Maybe a little rain. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening. This is your talk station.